thank you in our giving, Lord. We just thank you that we're able to give unto you. We thank you in advance, Lord. We thank you that you have declared over this house, Lord, that every seed that crosses over the threshold of this house, you said in your word, Lord, that you will rebuke the devourer for their sake. But Father, you declared in this house, Lord, that you would break generational curses. You would destroy iniquities of the past. And Father, I just thank you that you've loosed those, the bonds of wickedness that the enemy has tried to place on them, Lord. You have loosed them from it. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Do you have your word? Do you have your word? Well, get the word, get your sword, because we're about to go to battle. We're about to do something I believe that God has been speaking. And I'll set this message up. A couple weeks ago, the Lord had me minister a word to you concerning burning the yokes. Destroy the yokes. Burn the yokes. I want to take you back to the burning of the yokes, but I'm going to take you into what we as a people must do. In order for us to get to a better place in our spiritual walk and where God is calling us to go, we have got to let go of some things that are in our past, in our current future, or even in our current situation right now. The current future is something that you know that is still to come, but yet you're worried about it right now. You understand what I'm talking about? Your past, your now, and your future. Correct? All right, now God is in all of it. And who else is in it? You. Okay? So I'm going to show you something. Please get your word and go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. And let's go to verse 19. We've been standing and sitting and standing and sitting. You may sit, we'll honor God in the word. As we apply it to our life is how we honor God. When you're there, say amen. I hear some papers going. 19. 1 Kings 19 and verse 19. 19:19. Hallelujah. I'll begin reading. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he went with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what I have done, what have I done to you?" So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah to minister to him. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is true yesterday, today, and forever. It is the inspired word of God through your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that the flesh is nailed to the cross today. And I thank you that the Spirit of the living God is loose in this house. And I thank you that every demonic entity that has come to even cancel the plans of God, we bind it now in the name of Jesus. For God's yes is stronger and better than the devil's no. So, Father, we just thank you that the spirit of distraction is bound. We think that every unclean spirit, every antichrist spirit has been bound. And I take authority over it now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you that we are the people of God that receive your word. We receive it on our heart, that it opens up. And we receive it well within our spirit and our soul, that we apply it today and thenceforth forevermore. In Jesus' name, and all of God's children said amen. Amen. What I want to show you is in verse 21, so he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. What I want to tell you before you can go and do something great in your life, greater, you first have to let go and burn some things of your now and of your past. So that in your future, there's nothing keeping you bound to your past. Before he can get up and go do the greatest call that God has ever made to anybody alive today, he first had to go back and burn some things up. Before he can do anything, before he could follow, he had to burn the things that had him tied to his current position. He was not out of order. He was not someone that was praying to God for anything. He didn't pray to have a mantle given to him that would ultimately result in a double portion of the God of Elijah on his life. What he was doing is doing his business, what he was supposed to do, where he was at in his current circumstance. How many of us are doing what we're supposed to do in our current situation? Are we not doing what we're supposed to do? But there's some things that God has asked and required of you, but you still haven't burned the yokes. Because you're afraid of letting go. Elisha was in a field that had 12 oxen, 12 pairs of oxen. That's 24 ox. That's 12 different yokes. That's a big field. But he let go of something that he knew that was his resource then. He let go of that. And he had to walk by faith and trust something by faith. He had to. But what tends to happen, though, is we get so scared of our future, of what's to come, that we hold on to our past, and we can never embrace what God has for us. Let's burn the yokes. Now you're looking at me like, well, where are you going with this, Pastor? I see what you have on the screen that don't match up with the yokes. Yeah, y'all are looking at me that way. I'm looking at y'all, and I see your eyes. Like, this is the Lord's Prayer. I know that one. That was the first one I learned when I was growing up. Mama taught me how to pray the Lord's Prayer. So we all know that one. We put it to song. That's how you remember prayer. But I'm going to show you something that is very intricate to your growth in the Christian way of living. But more importantly, it is the right way of living as opposed to any kind of denomination, any kind of belief system. It's the right way of living. Okay? The Lord's Prayer. Let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. That's Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Make sure your phones are off, please. Off. This is something that I want to show you right here. Thy kingdom come. See that? This is Jesus speaking to his disciples that they asked in regards to prayer unto Jesus. And he begins to show them something about the kingdom. Kingdom principles at work. But we have a tendency to want to always look at all the signs and wonders and miracles. We want to get the goosebumps. I don't know about you. When I'm cold, I get goosebumps. That don't mean it's the Holy Ghost. And if I watch a scary movie, I get goosebumps. That don't mean it's the Holy Ghost. So don't look for emotions to say that this is God. What you got to understand what is God is kingdom principles. Thy will be done on earth where? As it is in heaven. Now, we're all good with those two, right? We're good. Doesn't require of us to do anything, does it? You know where I'm going with this woman of God. Watch this. Oh, we're good with this one too. Give us this day our daily bread. Because, you know, you got to give me something in order for me to be involved. You got to give me something. So far in this whole prayer, the disciples are like, I got this. Ain't no big thing. We move down to the next part right here. And forgive us our debts. Well, that's still, we're good with that. Yeah, I don't want to be in debt no more. Thank you, Jesus, get me out of debt.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost with that one.
Oh, but we go to the next part as we forgive our debtors. You lost me, Jesus. You lost me. I got to forgive people. I got to forgive people. But you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they hurt me. I've got to see them work towards this. This is too elementary? Okay. Okay. Do you see where it says right here? Lead us not into. But.
But.
but deliver us from
evil.
Okay, it doesn't stop there. There's a semicolon right there, right? Means what's coming after this is very, very important. For thine, meaning yours, is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For what? When?
Forever.
What he just said above all of this is part of the kingdom. In heaven and here on earth. Now, some of your religious minds are already going to say, well, when I'm in heaven, there is no offenses. So I can forgive my debts. My debts are already forgiven. They're back here in San Antonio on the bank account. It may be negative. I may have my things repossessed. But when I die and I go to heaven, I don't have to pay those debts back. So that's easy. But you got to remember what he said is here on earth. Before you leave this earth, make some things right.
Amen.
Let's just make some things right. Here's some scriptures for you. I want you to write them down if you're going through and taking notes, which you should. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach what?
Deliverance
to the captives. And the recovering of sight to the blind. To what? Set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach what? The acceptable year of the Lord. Many theologians will believe to be that when Jesus is returning. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, is he still sitting at the right hand of the Father? Did you only receive a portion of Jesus Christ into your heart? Or did you receive all of him into you? All. The kingdom of heaven is at hand now that abides within you. Do you understand? Now, that just tells me then that in heaven, here on earth, is become one. Because Jesus is in your heart. The kingdom of God is now. Not to go and to see the pearly gates. That's salvation into the uttermost part of life forevermore. Amen? But while we're here on earth, we got to learn some things. The crazy thing is, this is simple, but this thing right here called, brain, doesn't quite function well. Yeah. Doesn't. You know why? We have the Word of God that gives us instructions on how we're to live, how we're to be, but we don't want to apply it. Because we get real choosy on when we want to apply it.
Amen.
You know, we have one kind of donut that's back there. It's a glazed donut. Because if we were to put a variety back there, I would hear things about, how come there ain't no jelly filled? How ain't no eclairs? How come no bear claws? You're going to get what you're going to get. How come there are no bagels? How come there's no cream cheese? Do you know what I'm saying? The problem is, we have choice. We have choice. And when we have choice, we choose to do things that fit us. So we put ourselves, you remember that time, God rest his soul, Michael Jackson was living in a bubble. You remember that? Yeah, this is real life. He was in a bubble. A real bubble. Because he was so afraid of everything going on out there. That bubble could not stop the things that go on internally.
Amen.
Some of the things that keep you so bound are inside of you. Because we don't want to let go. Put yourself in the bubble. Those issues are right there with you. Do you remember before we got started? I got an issue. You got an issue. We all have issues. We all have a story. Correct? Okay. Now, we're here. This is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. Jesus made this statement in the synagogue from the scrolls of Isaiah. Then he goes on to say on verse 20, this day this scripture is fulfilled. Didn't say that everybody was free. Because we hold ourselves in bondage. We stay yoked to individuals. Here's what I want to show you that I believe that God is saying to the body of Christ right now. Matthew 7:2. Someone turn there. I just put paraphrases on there, but I want to read these scriptures. Matthew 7:2. Go to Matthew 18:35. B, would you go to Mark 11:25? Give me Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3:13. All right, who has Matthew 7:2? You got it? All right, can you read it out loud, please?
For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye shall meet, it shall be measured unto you again.
On how you judge it, you shall be judged. Yes. And what measure you give out is the same measure you won't get in return. We're still talking about kingdom. He established it back in Genesis. What you put in the ground is what you're going to get. And if you put judgment on someone, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get judgment back. In the same measure that you gave it. I guess we'll move on because I'm starting to lose you already. This isn't a rebuking message. Boy, everybody went, yeah. Oh, it's okay. We're amongst family. When I sit around the table with mama and daddy, and they look at me, and she goes, son, I'm in trouble. I already know it. I'm already in trouble. When my wife... the world ends. Rapture needs to come quickly. Because I'm already in trouble. A rebuke isn't bad. Just shows that they love you. Just shows that God loves us. So he's telling us, don't be going and judging. Don't. Well, that was enough right there, but you don't want to go on to 1835. Who got that one? Okay, come on. Let's go. No.
Read it out loud.
And so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Keep going.
To 19. Mm-hmm. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea.
This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. Matthew 18:35.
Did I say it wrong?
No, I think you said it right. Me, I had the wrong one. That he will hand you over to what? The torturers. Do we have the same Bible? Because I know different versions have a tendency to omit some things. Okay, because right here in Matthew 18:35, it goes on to say that if you don't forgive your brothers, where did it say? In your heart. This one? This one? Now look. But he says he'll hand you over to the torturers. 34? Okay, 34. He'll hand you over to the torturers. Do you want to be handed over to the torturers? No. I don't want to be handed over to no torturers. No. Because we don't know how we're going to be tortured. But this is Jesus speaking concerning the Father, on how the Father would treat each of you. We got to forgive our brothers. Amen. That means sisters too. That means your honey. That means your children. Oh, wait, this is going to get even deep. That means your pastor. That means your previous pastor and your previous pastor and your previous, because, you know, we tend to hop a lot. But, you know, your previous pastors. You've got to forgive. This is the kingdom. This is kingdom. Kingdom. Who's got Mark 11:25? All right, B, hold on.
But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too.
When you're praying, you know how we do. But you got so much offense and unforgiveness for somebody else. In other words, he's saying, shut up. That's what he's saying. Shut up. Go make it right. Go make it right. I don't even hear you. Go make it right. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I know you teach your kids. Don't say that word. It's not nice. Shut up. It's not nice. Shut the front door. This one. Shut it. Lock it. Quit praying. Go make it right. So that you can be heard from God. But we pick and choose. We pick and choose. You ever been in a buffet where there's so much out there and you are so hungry? I'll put that. I want that. I'll put that. I'm going to put that. And if you're like Pastor, you have a little bit of meat, maybe a little bit of salad, and about 6 different desserts. Because I get to choose what I want to eat. So we pick and choose. You know how many times I see people go through these scriptures? That ain't for me. That ain't for me. I'm good, right, God? I do an internal check every day. Whatever is in me, Lord, just take it away. He don't take it away. He reveals to you so you can deal with it and you uproot it yourself so that you can move on in your life. God ain't going to come in and say, oh, you got all this mess. Let me just take it out. That's it. Then you're not going to know how to live your life. Because somebody's going to come and that one thing he took out, guess what he's going to do? All these 7 different ones are going to come back at you. Bam, 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 bam. You couldn't deal with the one. Now you got 8 more. Pastor, we got to pray for deliverance for this person. No, we don't. No, we don't. Do they have a demon right now? Or do they have issues? If they have issues, they in church somewhere? Are they accountable to a pastor somewhere? Well, no, they haven't been in church in 6 years. Hello? You wonder why they're going through some stuff? Ask them if they want to make things right. I'm trying to help you. Trying to help you. Because here's the trick of the enemy. Make you think that you can go tell everybody, you need to get in church. Pump those brakes. Wrong attitude. Wrong spirit. You don't know the heart like God knows the heart. But the one that hasn't been in church, don't want to go to church, it's okay. God knows their heart. Do you see them being tormented, thrown around? Because I know where some of y'all's minds went, well, the father brought the child, and the child was tormented of evil spirits, throwing them all over the floor. So the father had to bring the child. That's a child. Had authority to the father. Father said, this child ain't going to know any better. I got to get him somewhere. Then Jesus spoke to that spirit, and it left. Do you understand? We can't be casting judgment. We can't stop all that. Jesus is the one that knows the heart of things. We've got to know that these are for us, right here. Before you can go out and try to do this to everybody, this has to be in you. All right, who's got Colossians 3:13? I think it's you, right?
Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others.
Well, now. Remember the Lord forgave you, you must forgive others. Our Father. Now that prayer makes some sense. Understand? Why do you think the disciples are asking about prayer? They had spent years with Jesus already. They're asking, teach us how to pray. We've seen the miracles. We've seen the signs and the wonders. But when you go and pray, you go by yourself. You haven't taught us how to pray. So he teaches the kingdom principles. Do you understand? We have got to forgive whatever grievances come our way. Now here's what I want to read to you. A yoke is a wooden bar that joins 2 oxen to each other, and to the burden they pull. An unequally yoked team has one stronger ox and one weaker, or one taller, one shorter. The weaker or shorter ox would walk slower than the taller. the stronger one, causing the load to go around in circles. That's deep. That, when y'all started reading the one taller, the one shorter, y'all started looking at different relationships and marriages. Stop all that. Keep your eyes over here. Keep your eyes. It's going to keep. Trust me, it's going to keep you. Oh, Lord. Causes the load to go around in circles. Causing the load. See that right there? The load to go in circles. The load of life. The pressures of life are hard, very hard. For you youngsters in the room, enjoy your youth. Enjoy it. Enjoy being at home with mama and daddy so that you can get your top ramen, because they'll provide the top ramen for you. Or you can get the Lucky Charms in the morning, you can get the milk too. Or a home-cooked meal. You can enjoy your laundry being done, for some. For some. You can enjoy having a roof over your head that you ain't got to pay bills with. You can enjoy the luxury of, mama, I don't have all the money for the insurance. Just saying. Mama, I don't have no money for gas. You don't look at me like, well, they should be working. Yeah, you're going to give it anyhow. You're going to give it anyhow. You're going to do it. Don't act like you're all that Holy Ghost feeling. Y'all, no, I stand firm on what I believe. Don't be lying. You're in church. Don't be lying. Your children, they got you like this. They do. They do. We try to be real hard with our kids. Nah, you working. You ain't got no money. You ain't going nowhere. You got to go to work. Well, here, since you got to go to work, here's some money for gas. They know how to work it. Because you have their heart. Why is it easier for us to look at our kids when they're kids? Because I'm going to jump to that next level. We'll forgive them. But when the kids get a little bit older, like their 30s, we have a hard time forgiving them now. Did you forget when you were at that age? Just because they're older don't mean they're wiser. Just because you get gray hair don't mean that's wisdom. People say, oh, those grays look good. You're astute. That's wisdom. No, that's gray hair. That's what that is. The other side, you said it, stress. We've got to forgive, not just within our proximity of our home. We've got to forgive others as well. We have to. The load. If it was just mama in the house doing everything in the house. Let me move on. If it's, come on this side, Michael. When I felt the dagger. Oh. You're working me. I felt it real strong. It was a demonic attack. Yes. You have got to help one another out. But what tends to happen, you may have someone that is going so strong forward towards the call of God on their life. And then you have someone. Just not today, though. Okay, maybe tomorrow. But what happens, you ain't moving nowhere. You're going in circles. What they call that in basketball is pivoting. So that you don't travel. You just pivot. But when you're pivoting, guess what happens in basketball? Like the Tim Duncans that don't know how to pass it out all the time. All the defenders come against you because you ain't moving. You're just pivoting. That's not advancement. That's movement. But you haven't advanced anywhere. Many times the enemy will let you get going and you're doing good. I'm going to give you an illustration like basketball. You know, you just. Like Jordan. But he'll let you get to a certain point called the halfway point. Then they attack. Because you ain't no threat on the other side of the court. But when you get closer to the goal, you become now a threat. So he's going to stop you outside of the zone that you're used to being dealt with. He's going to keep you further away from the distance that you're not, that you're not accurate in. He's going to keep you outside called the red line. Basketball's full of some good things about the Bible. The red line represents the three-point line. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay. Red line. Why the red line? The blood. There's the goal. But if I can put you outside the red line, if you do make it, which is a little bit more difficult, but if you come proficient from making it behind the red line, now you become a threat to the enemy that's within the area. Do you understand? Then he starts coming out closer to you. Go ahead, Michael Stanley. Let's do this thing. Let's just... Now, and I whoop them all the time. Right. Now, when he starts shooting the basket, now I'm down here. Oh, he's going to miss. I'm going to stay close with the rebound. And then he shoots the basket. Oh, yeah, you. Dang. So he made it once. How many times have you tried God and you make it the first time? How many times have you gone through the game, really, because the devil's playing the game with God like he's going to win, he's going to lose in the end. He's losing right now. You understand? But what he's doing, he's testing whether or not he is going to be comfortable out there. So after the first time he made it, that was luck. He's coming down again. I'm just giving, I don't know just yet. Well, give him that one. The first one was luck. He does it again. Do you shot, man? Do you shot? Okay, now he's becoming a threat. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. So now this is what the enemy does.
Come on, officer. Come on.
Now this is what the enemy does. Now, watch. Now he starts bringing others. This is what is called a trap. So when he crosses now the point of half court, oh, I'm teaching about basketball, but it's in the Bible. All right, now watch. Now you've seen how we gave a little bit of leeway. I said, now I was like, no, I ain't doing this alone. I said, uh-uh, come on. Come on. As soon as he crossed that hash mark, we're gonna box him in. We're going to trap him. Now he's coming down the court. So you got outside man comes over this way, middle man. Now he's trapped, which makes him start your pivot. Is he progressing forward? No. Is he a threat to that goal? No. Now what the enemy is doing is keeping him pivoting. But he's not doing anything. As he stays pivoting, more defenders are coming closer and closer and closer. Guess what happens? He calls a
help.
Timeout.
A timeout. How many of us would get cornered? And then what happens is you call, timeout! 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 No! Timeout! 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 This is what the enemy tries to do, is to get you pivoting so that more of the attacks and offenses come your way. I know where I'm at, GPS. So when an offense comes and you get mad and upset, it puts you now to start pivoting. As he starts pivoting, watch this. Somebody else comes in and start pivoting. Well, he wasn't that good to begin with. He didn't know how to play the game and didn't understand the game anyhow. So now his pivoting is being slowed. No longer is he a threat no more, because the enemy gets to his head. Begins to mess with his psyche. In other words, begins to mess with what he already knows. He just proved that he was proficient in it before. Now he's no longer proficient in it. Why? Because of all the offenses that have come. Oh, All you're doing is just pivoting. No longer a threat. Do you understand? Oh, so now they go in circles. They go in circles. They cannot perform the task that is set before them. Instead of working together, they are at odds with one another. With one another. How many of us has been with somebody that don't want to go where you're going and makes you feel like you're stagnant? Uh-huh. Stand up, pivot. Stand up, pivot, pivot. This is what's going on in churches today. You see a lot of people just pivoting in church. They're never progressing because they're not applying the word. And when they think they got all the word because they can recite all the scriptures, but they don't put it to use, they're still pivoting. They're still pivoting. You know that many theologians and many doctors in the scriptures are still bound when it's called legalism. Intellectualism will bind you unless you put it to work. It's one thing to say, I know the word. So does the devil. How did he tempt Jesus? With the word. So don't think because you know the word that you got it all and you got everything all right. You're going to be tested too. The thing is, you got to put that word to use every day. Oh, y'all ain't going to like me today. As you see, y'all keep. Oh, no, whoa. Keep pivoting. Hey, bud, do me a favor. Can you stand up and pivot, bud? Just pivot, bud. Come on, bud. Go ahead, Melissa. Go ahead. Pivot. Just pivot. Now, look. How many times you go into a church and you see movement thinking, my God, this church is moving somewhere. No, they're not. They're just pivoting. It looks like there's something productive going on, but it's not. There's a lot of movement, but there's not productivity because we're not going forward. We're just carrying the load together, but we're not yoked equally. So what happens is we begin pivoting and we ain't going nowhere. People, visitors come in, oh, wow, that church is moving. It happened. No, they're moving all right. In circles. That don't mean they're doing good. But watch this. Now watch this. Let that pivoting be loosed and be free to move about. Just move about wherever. Just move about. Just move about. Move about. Just move about. Now there's some movement and advancement. And advancement. Now watch. The goal is the cross. The goal is the cross. Now, as people begin to see that there's advancement to the cross, you ain't exempt. Now there's movement towards something, which is what? The mark of the high calling. Do you understand? To move forward. Let me show you what sin is. Watch this. Go that way. That's sin. Missing the mark. That is sin. Do you understand? Sin isn't, oh, you an adulterer. No. Sin is when you went that way away from the mark of the high calling. The fruit of that will be the adultery later. It could be pornography. It could be all these other things that we want to list or whatever. Missing the mark is the sin. Do you understand? Don't get it all twisted. Don't. When you see the fruit, you call that sin. No, that's the fruit of sin. Not being in the presence of God and not going after the mark of the high calling. Do you understand? That's the fruit of it. Don't get it all crazy. That's a sinner. Jesus ate with the tax collectors and all the sinners. Why? Because he knew how to bring them back through relationship. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You've got to understand something. We've got to work together to advance the kingdom of God, which is inside of you. We have got to advance the kingdom. We have to. Watch this. Unforgiveness binds you to the one you have not forgiven as a yoke binds an ox. Unforgiveness binds you to the one you have not forgiven as a yoke binds an ox. I don't know about you. I don't want to be locked down to someone that don't want to let me go. You know what I mean? They hurt me because they don't like the way I did something or I said something. So now there was an offense there, and they don't want to forgive me. But guess what? I'm even trying to move on, but I'm still yoked. I'm free up here to do, but I'm yoked. It ties you to the person that you have unforgiveness with. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. We can stop right there. Unbelievers. People say, well, are you saved? I'm saved, so we're equally yoked. You don't know how saved they really are. Because if you're going to base it on how they talk to you about church and how they talk to you about God and how they talk to you about scripture, that you're going to base that they're Christians, the Bible truly tells you what Jesus said. You will know them by their fruit. Here's what happens and how we yoke each other up. We choose to hang around the same type of folks. Have the same type of swag about them like you. Have the same type of interest like you. You think the enemy is just going to come at you with just scripture? He's going to come at you with relationship. How? Because he knows what's inside of you that he placed there. So he's going to wait for the opportune time to begin to work on that little demon that's inside that you don't know you got. Sometimes these are called the iniquities of your forefathers that you didn't even know you had. Deep stuff. Then all of a sudden now you think you're doing good. Everything's going good. Something just kind of pops up in the mist. What is that? And where did that come from? We've been there. It's in iniquities of your forefathers that have you yoked to your past. And you don't even know it. That's what binds you to that yoke. And now somebody that has offended you or you offended and you guys are not forgiving one another, guess what happens? Guess what happens? You have unforgiveness and you're yoked to that individual. Read that bottom right there. Oh, Lord Jesus, that was a little bit too good. Okay. The foothold. Watch. Look at the definition. A firm base for progress. A secure starting position from which further advances can be made. He don't end there, in other words. Everything that the enemy is going to do is going to start as a foothold before it becomes a stronghold. A little someone didn't let you, you know, get coffee. You took the last cup of coffee and made Pastor mad. I mean, you made them mad. And they hold that up. I can't believe they took, you know, they know that's my coffee. They took, I can't believe it. Foothold. An offense. It's a foothold. You don't think, you think it's just something simple. It goes on further. It will advance. Matthew 18:18, write that down. The kingdom system principle of binding and loosing. Do you see that up there? Matthew 18:18, binding and loosing. Isn't that a principle of the kingdom of God? Somebody have it with them right now? Ready? Somebody have it? Bueller. Matthew 18:18. Who's got it?
I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven.
Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on heaven is bound here on earth. But what you loose in heaven is loose here on earth. That's the principle that God is telling you. You've got to loose some things. You've got to let go of some folks that you've been holding this grudge with, unforgiveness with. Unforgiveness will result in sickness in your body. You have got to loose it. You don't want this one. I'm telling you. Matthew 18. This is very delicate. 18:19. 19 through 20. Kingdom system principle. Where two or three are gathered, ask and it shall be given because I am in the midst. Now I'm kind of paraphrasing on that. When two or three are gathered, he's talking about Drew and me getting together so that we can be partakers of the kingdom realm. Why? When you get believers together and you're in his name, all of a sudden he is there. What, you mean we didn't have to do praise and worship? You mean we didn't have to go and fast and pray to get his presence? No. You come in his name and he's there. Then you ask and it shall be given unto you in his name. And that's powerful. That is powerful. Do you see why the enemy wants to stop us from gathering? And how is he going to stop us from gathering? By causing a little offense. It may be just a little one. You didn't even know it. I ain't going today. Why not? I don't know. I just don't feel like it. Okay. I'll give you that one. 4 months later, I ain't going today either. What happened? You were on fire for God, and now you're not. You just been burnt out? The fire don't burn you. The fire keeps you. Who burned you? Remember, God doesn't bring offenses. People do. Yes. People do. All right, someone go to Matthew 18:21. You all right, Pastor? All right, you're a prophet right there. Jeremiah, you got that? All right. I want you to read from 21 to 35. You got that? You got it?
Wait, 21? Okay. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me?
Right, and stop right there. Peter already. When you hear Peter, y'all are... Peter is someone very special. Very special. Needs special attention. All the time. And he waits for his other brothers to get around, the other disciples, so that he can ask a question like, I got a good Jesus. Watch this. Now, why would Peter be asking this one? Master, how many times do I got to forgive my brother? Seven times. Oh, watch this. Why would you think Peter would be asking this question? I'm holding a grudge to somebody right now. I didn't even know what you're going to hold against me. How many times? Okay. Continue reading, sir. Continue reading.
And I forgive him till seven times. Jesus.
Seven times what?
Seven times.
Okay. The forgiveness is 70 times seven. Daily. But he first says... immediately. In other words, it comes at you, brother. You know what? You know you constantly just getting on my last nerve. Guess what his responsibility is? Immediately forgive. Hello, cricket. Wow, I tell you what. Now watch. And then I said, you know what? Because the other thing too, sometimes you just don't shave right. It's all off. You don't even. He's supposed to forgive immediately again. I can stand here 70 times, seven times. That's a long time. That's a lot of times you get on someone's nerve in one day with one person, and you got to let it go. To that one individual, 70 times seven, you're not to let the sun go down on that wrath that you have holding against them. So when the sun starts to go down, you better start thinking, okay, who do I got to forgive? I got to forgive somebody. I forgive everybody that I was just mad at. Okay. I think I'm good. I got this. Peter's asking for a reason. Continue reading, prophet.
Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
70 times? Jesus said. Isn't that what it said? Jesus said? So that's God speaking to Peter. Correct? You know, Jesus, prophet. Jesus knows. Why would he be telling Peter this principle? Because Peter himself is going to need to understand this grace that is being extended out to everybody that is also being extended out to him. Do you understand? Why? Because Peter's about to do something. He's really about to do something. That Jesus is saying, I told you because... as quickly as you offended, it's also being released. so that you don't fall under that condemnation. You understand? Continue reading, sir.
Therefore is the kingdom of heavenly likened unto the certain king which would take account of servants.
All right. Now, the kingdom system principle works when you use it. If you don't use it, it's not going to work for you. Correct? Okay. Now, what I want to show you is something that's very, very powerful. Are you there on Matthew 18? Go to 23. 18 verse 23. Are you there? For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to the king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Your accounts are going to be dealt with. But since he did not have the means to repay his lord, commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. How many of you are in debt? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And you know that there's a means that cannot be met because the debt is so great. Well, during this time, the king had the right to sell your wife and your children into slavery. That's a bit much for me. Because you're going to keep that debt, and you ain't touching my wife and kids, I'm going to be on the run. You ain't touching my kids, you ain't touching my wife. But that's how severe the debt was. So severe. This was very powerful. This is kingdom here. This is kingdom. So the slave fell on the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." That's pretty strong. Have patience, my Lord, have patience. He's not talking to Jesus. He's talking to the one that holds the debt over his life. Just, I want to repay you, but just have patience with me. Please, have patience with me. I want to repay you, but just give me some time to repay you. Please. Now, because he knew that this man could take his wife and his children and himself. Fear gripped him and like, oh, he starts to plead, right? Okay, now. Just have patience with me. We can't even have patience one for another for a donut, but it's okay. Verse 27, and the Lord of that slave felt what? Compassion. And released him and forgave him the debt. How many of us need to have some debts forgiven in our life? Quickly, you raise your hands because you're looking at the money that you're in debt to, the credit cards. I'm not giving you this message because Christmas is around the corner. Some of you already went out to Black Friday, put your accounts into the red, but you put them into the black. Do you understand? You don't go out and pay all this money that you ain't got now and be in debt for next year. Some of y'all still paying off Christmas from last year. Use some wisdom here. I'm not giving you this message. I'm telling you that your debtors are forgiving you of that yoke of unforgiveness that is on you. Amen. And they're releasing you from that. So the stronghold is now released off your life. Do you understand? The debt was released. And he was just asking, give me patience. I'll pay it. I will pay it. Just give me some time. He said, no, your debt is released. Done. I don't know about you, but I want God to come through for me like that too. Amen. I want him to come through. Yeah, you can thank him for that. That's his word. Some of y'all may be thinking, well, that's just a parable that he was giving. A parable to the kingdom. You're part of that kingdom. Your debts can be wiped out as well. All right? And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him of the debt. Now watch this. This is what the church pivoting right here. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves. Here we go. Who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him. But you were just on the ground crying for the other man to let you go from all that debt. Crying. It's not coming. Forgive me. Lord, I pray back. Get patience. Patience. My debt's forgiven? Shoo. You know, he walked out with swag. Hey, you owe me $10, man. It starts choking that guy that owed him some money. A little bit, not a lot of money, a little bit of money. Starts choking. Where was the grace that was extended to you earlier? Oh, see, y'all like it. I like that one. I like that one. Let me show you about that individual. Y'all probably think, Pastor, why are you going to go here? Well, I'm going to go there. Because when you're in front of other people that hold some authority over your life, you will give false humility and act like you're truly acting like, Lord, I humble myself before you. I humble myself before you. In reality, that's just false humility. That's what was inside of that individual. And so when that false humility comes, they get caught up in something they shouldn't be doing. Humility must keep you in a straight line so you're not trying to rise to power. Only God can exalt you. What was in that individual was pride. Pride. He knew he was never going to pay that debt, but he had to plead because they were after his children and his wife. But when he got released of that debt, how many times are you going to get yourself out of debt because you go and file bankruptcy or whatever the case may be, debt's wiped away, but you go right back into it? No. See, that's a learned behavior that keeps you bound. A learned behavior. That learned behavior is going to keep you to that yoke that will keep you in your impoverished mentality, and you'll never get into the abundance because you're yoked to the impoverished mentality because you got to scheme your way to get what you want. It's called pride. Burn the yokes and let it go from your past so you can embrace what's ahead of you. So that now that the grace is extended to you, you extend the grace to others. But the mindset changes. For some people, they have to go through some desperate times. So his fellow slave fell on the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will reap." Kind of the same thing he prayed? Okay, all right. So he should have been remembered. He just happened. He should have known. You know what? I did the same thing. Oh, whatever. I'm going to do what I want to do. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. We're quick to put other people in bondage or put them in their sin, put them in things they shouldn't be doing. But we don't look at ourselves first and what God's already done for us. That's church, people. That's church. So when his fellow slaves, elders and deacons and ministers of the church, and brothers and sisters in the church saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved. Oh my God. That's what they said. Deeply grieved. And came and reported to the Lord what had happened. Wait a minute. Oh. Amen. Do you know, you remember that guy that, see all that snot that's there at him? Remember that? I know you're getting it cleaned up right now on the floor, but the guy that was just here that you forgave him all that debt, do you know that what he did to the one that owed him a little bit? People are always watching you. And how you handle your situation that is at hand. Because you don't know how you're going to get out of the situation in the future. So people are watching you. How are you going to handle your now to where you're going? Because you know your now can't pay for where you're going. You miss me. Because we're afraid on how we're going to deal with it because we know we have a learned behavior that's going to keep us in this cycle. And it's going to get us deeper and deeper in debt. In debt. So we're so worried about the future even in our now. Didn't the Bible tell us do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worries of its own? Why worry about tomorrow? Okay, I mean, we got to get, you know, stuff ready for the kids and school and work. But God's going to take care of you. But if you don't know it now, you're not going to know it for tomorrow. You're not going to know it for tomorrow. Now, this is cold right here. The Bible is good. Y'all should read it because there's some good stories in here. Good one. 32. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you the debt because you pleaded with me. You should not also have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you." And this Lord moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. My Bible's still written in red right here. My Heavenly Father will also just Jesus speaking. My Heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your hearts. This is kingdom principles here. We got to understand something. You have got to make sure you're forgiving your brother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle, your grandmama, and the mama before grandmama. You've got to forgive. Oh, my Kathy, you'll love you. And your ex-husband. And your current husband. Oh, I don't touch something right there, Jason. Let me move out of the way. You have got to forgive right now and let go to get where you need to be. Don't let this foothold become a stronghold and control your life. You got to truly let it go. Everything that's going on, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get your toes stepped on. You got people rub you the wrong way. But you got God on your side that has given you the instructions of the kingdom, how we are supposed to be as believers to let it go. Now, here's what's going to blow your mind. So don't be unequally unyoked with other believers. Do you understand? That don't want to let you go. They want to hold you to your current circumstance and don't want to let you go. Amen. You have got to move to what God has called you to do. And for some, he's saying, be a good parent. Oh, what, that's not deep enough for you? Oh, everybody want to be up here? Not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody's called to pastor. You should be shouting God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Not everybody's called to be a prophet. You should really be saying, thank you, Jesus. You should really be thanking God that you're called to be a husband, a wife, a teacher, a doctor, a nurse. Those are the calls of the ecclesia of the kingdom, that where you're at is where the kingdom is demonstrated. So for you youngsters in the room, guess what? Your call right now is school. Oh, you felt that one. Kids right away like, dang, I got to go back tomorrow. We're supposed to go to school. You got to get your learn on. Don't think you know it all. All you adults in here that know everything in the world, stand up. Those of you adults that know everything in the world, stand up. Okay, let's say it this way. Those adults that are still learning, stand up. Do you see, kids, what I'm trying to tell you? Every day is a day of learning. Every day is a day where you're going to have an offense come your way. And every day is an opportunity for you to let go of that offense. And you learn something about the grace of God to be extended to those even that are sitting next to you in church right now. You let the offense go so that you can be loosed into your destiny. So you're no longer pivoting, you're advancing towards the goal. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope this blessed you. I pray that God richly, you can cut that, David, please, sir. I pray that you have an understanding of what God is saying in this hour, is that the church needs to understand the direction in which the body is moving. not on which we want the body to move in. He guides, he leads, we follow. Well, we got to be a trailblazer. You're going to get yourself in trouble. I'll tell you, quick and easy. Unless God told you to go that way, don't go. We learn. My grace came from trying to do things on my own. Trying to make it because I got my gift. I got this. I know what I'm doing because Lord has shown me how to do this. He graced me with knowing how to do my job so well. Got me in so much trouble. That's truth. Why? Because you try to do for yourself. Let God do it. Let him do it. God is good. All the way through. Amen. Let him do it. Let him do it. I want to share with you that on Wednesday night was an outpouring, and I believe, of healing that was taking place. Excuse me. And I inquired of God, what's happening? Wednesday night was a different anointing. Was it because the eve of Thanksgiving that we were just more? I didn't think anybody was going to be here. I told them, I'm going just in case people show up. Well, and they showed up. But more importantly, he showed up. And when he showed up, he spoke some things very clearly to some individuals. That's what's important, guys. Forsake not the assembling of the saints. Get together. Get together because he's going to show up. But I ask God, what's going on? The healing was so dominant in that service, the healing anointing. Words of knowledge were released concerning certain ailments in the body. And I know that God is saying, I'm healing the body of Christ, but within the church. So that those that are looking outside the doorway into the churches can say, it's safe to go in. Because they don't see us pivoting. They see us advancing even on our own issues. You're going to go through things. But don't think you're the only one going through. We all go through them. When you assemble together, even in the midst of going through, you learn something about God. That he's right there with you and them to help you through. Amen. 2013 will be a year of change. What that change is, I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to say it's good change. I really would. But the way things are going and the way the economy is, we don't know what kind of change is going to happen. But what the Bible tells me about the economy, it shall not fall nigh unto me. But we have a responsibility to burn the yokes and let go, so we can be loosed in the kingdom. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you know you have offense right now towards a brother and sister in the Lord, a family member or a friend or a neighbor, a co-worker, or your past church, now is the time to forgive and release that yoke. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray over every individual under the sound of my voice, Father, I just thank you right now that they release and burn that yoke that has them bound by unforgiveness. That they release those that have offended them and release them immediately to be loose into their destiny. Father, I just thank you for each and every individual that is in this house today and those that are represented here by their family, Lord. But I thank you that those, Father, that are in need of forgiveness are forgiven. Father, I thank you in advance for what you're doing and what you're about to do. But more importantly, I thank you for what you've already done on the cross for us. I thank you that there's healing taking place, not just in relationship, but also in the body. I thank you that stress levels are removed. And I thank you, Lord, that the toxicity of the blood is now being regulated right now. And that the stress levels are regulating even the blood pressure. Father, I even thank you right now. The ulcers In Jesus' mighty name, dissolve now. In Jesus' name, I declare right now that every person sitting in this room, I take authority over the sickness and disease. It is subject unto me, and I thank you right now in advance for the word that you have said, Lord, that greater works we shall do than you have done. And I thank you right now that every child, every man, woman, and child in this room is being healed of the infirmity. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that you guys have a wonderful week. Enjoy yourself. I know the kids going back to school can be very trying because they don't want to get up in the morning. They've been staying up till 2, 3 in the morning because the freedom. I pray for every child. You're going to get up early. You're going to have energy. You're going to have strength. And you're not going to argue with mama and daddy. You're going to do it. You're going to get things ready tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll see you on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock for Bible study and worship. Yes, sir. Yes, who? We have birthday cake. Birthday. November. November birthdays. We have November birthdays in here. All right. Stand to your feet. See the kids. Come on out. November birthdays. Yes, sir. Thank you, baby. Thank you. One, two, three, four. Yeah. Hannah, your birthday. Who else's birthday? Anybody else's birthdays in November? Stand up, Hannah. Your kids coming out from the back? Yes, no, maybe so. Y'all have birthdays back there? Anybody? Family members have birthdays back there? Any more November birthdays? All right. The count of three, we're going to sing happy birthday to the November babies. All right? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Cha-cha-cha. Happy birthday to you. Cha-cha-cha.